From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for Tuesday, November 1st, 2016. I'm Philip Grant. Daniel Zuckerman is reporting in the Daily Mail that all homes and businesses in Greene County will see an increase in their taxes with the construction of the new Greene County Jail. Greene County Administrator Sean Groden said owners of property assessed at $100,000 would see an increase of $31 to their tax bill. Groden said, and I quote, "There will certainly be a tax impact," end quote. The project will be funded through a 30-year municipal bond, creating a debt obligation of approximately $2.7 million a year. Jail Task Force Finance Committee member Gene Hatton said the tax increase will not occur for another 3 years or until work on the jail begins. Hatton said, and I quote, "Right now we're still trying to land on a moving target for a dollar amount. We certainly have a need for a new jail. In the long run, it will cost us more to maintain a failing building," end quote. Hatton said transparency is important and that neither he or his fellow lawmakers want to arrive at an unrealistic cost figure. He said, and I quote, "We're conscious of the need versus the cost," end quote. While Hatton said the task force welcomes public comment, little feedback from county residents has been received so far. At a public hearing held last month, only one person spoke. The legislature's public comment period for the project ended October the 19th, but no written comments were received, Groden said. The county is planning two more forums on the project, one at 911 Center Street in Cairo and the other in Hunter. Dates for those forums have not been announced. You can read that full story in the Daily Mail. Roger Hannigan Gilson is reporting in the Register Star that police are asking for the public's help in locating a missing Hudson woman. Darlene A. Coden, 56, may be in need of medical attention. Coden is 5 feet 6 inches tall, has hazel eyes and brown hair, and reportedly suffers from mental illness. Coden last stayed at the St. Charles Hotel on Park Place in Hudson on September 16th, according to state police. Her family does not believe Coden has access to a cell phone or a car. Anyone with information is asked to call state police at 845-677-7300. You can read that full story in the Register Star. The Daily Freeman is reporting that the Kingston High School Tiger Marching Band placed second in the Large School 2 division at the 43rd Annual New York State Field Band Conference Championship on Sunday, October the 30th. The 200-member band, the largest in the division, finished second to the winner, Cicero North Syracuse High School. Each band performed for 7 to 10 minutes and was evaluated by a 10-judge panel for musical and visual presentation. Syracuse.com reported the championship on Sunday featured approximately 4,000 students from more than 50 high schools in three states. Bethany Bump is reporting for Capital Confidential that the New York State Council of School Superintendents' sixth annual survey of school teachers is out. According to the report, just 20% of the superintendents feel optimistic about their ability to fund necessary services for students during the next 3 years. 73% said they felt pessimistic about their ability to do so, while 6% said they are unable to fund these services now. Executive Director Charles Diedrich said, and I quote, "What is driving the concern is a sense that district leaders and voters can't control the financial fates of their schools," end quote. The report notes that New York's existing education finance structure, and I quote, "put schools in a potentially unsustainable position, required to accommodate costs they cannot control with revenues they can no longer presume will materialize," end quote. The majority of superintendents polled said that while student needs continue to rise, state aid remains inadequate, and the state property tax cap has constrained districts' ability to raise revenue through property taxes. Approximately 76% of superintendents also expressed concern about increases to pension and health care costs as well. You can read that full story at Capital Confidential. Emilia Teasdale is reporting in the Columbia paper that on November the 8th, in addition to casting their vote on the presidential and other federal and state races, Kinderhook and Stuyvesant residents will also be asked to approve increased town contributions to the Kinderhook Memorial Library operating budget. The library is asking for $11,154 in additional funds from Kinderhook taxpayers and $1,575 from Stuyvesant residents, a 6% increase. If approved, Kinderhook's contribution to the library budget would total $197,000 in 2017. Stuyvesant's support during that same period would be almost $28,000. In an email to the paper, Library Director Anna Lee Giraldo wrote, and I quote, "The money we are requesting will be used to purchase 6 all-new public computers for our library and to support the general operation of our facility. We have created a new full-time position of teen librarian to help accommodate the growing number of patrons and programs. All of our programs are offered free of charge and are open to the entire public," end quote. You can read that full story in the Columbia paper. Nick Medzwedek is reporting at Politico New York that Republican congressional candidate John Faso said on Monday, October 31st, the announcement last week that the FBI would examine additional emails related to Hillary Clinton's use of a private email server could discourage Democratic voters, but he was unsure if it would affect other races on the ballot. Faso said on Fred Dicker's radio show, and I quote, "I have to imagine it would discourage some Democrats. How much this filters into the congressional race in the 19th district, I mean, I'm cautious about it," end quote. Faso was in a tight race against Democrat Zephyr Teachout in the 19th congressional district, vying for the seat currently held by fellow Republican Chris Gibson. Faso is on the record as saying he believes district voters are smart enough to distinguish between the presidential candidates and others on the ballot. Faso's statements were often made in the wake of controversial statements from GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump. You can read that full story in Politico New York. Kyle Hughes is reporting for NYS that Democrat incumbent Charles Schumer and his GOP challenger Wendy Long held their only scheduled debate in the U.S. Senate race at Union College in Schenectady on Sunday, October the 30th. Much of the event focused on the presidential campaign and Schumer's ties to Wall Street. Schumer said he was, and I quote, "appalled," end quote, that the FBI reopened an investigation into Democrat Hillary Clinton's emails so close to the general election. Long said Schumer has gotten millions in campaign money from too-big-to-fail Wall Street firms such as Merrill Lynch and Lehman Brothers. Schumer said he opposed the financial industry when its actions hurt the middle class, and pointed out the financial sector supports hundreds of thousands of jobs in New York. Schumer called GOP nominee Donald Trump appalling and unfit to be president. Long countered that Trump's vulgar comments were no worse than the jokes told by the senator's distant cousin, Amy Schumer. The two also clashed over the U.S. Supreme Court Citizens United decision. In that case, the court found that freedom of speech prohibited the government from restricting independent political expenditures by corporations. The debate was aired live at the same time as the fifth game of the World Series and was viewable only by Time Warner Cable TV paid subscribers in parts of upstate New York and New York City. In the most recent Federal Election Commission's filing, Long reported a little more than $143,000 on hand and debts totaling $322,000. In July, Schumer reported having raised $27.5 million. You can read that full story in the Daily Freeman. The WGXC Dead Air 2 Resurrection 2016 Fall Pledge Drive continues until we meet our $20,000 goal. WGXC programmers, volunteers, and staff must raise the necessary funds to keep WGXC hands-on radio on the air, live, and local during the coming months. Your support will make all the difference. Call 518-697-7400 or go online to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for supporting creative community radio in New York's Greene and Columbia counties. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting a sunny day for today with a temperature high near 55 degrees. For Tuesday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 44. The forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Wednesday, mostly cloudy with a high near 65 degrees. Wednesday night, scattered showers, mainly after 2 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a low around 50. And on Thursday, showers with a high near 67 degrees. Thursday night, showers again, mainly before 8 p.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 39. The sun rose at 7:30 this morning, and the sun will set at 5:47 p.m. this evening. That will give us 10 hours and 17 minutes of daylight, about 2 minutes less than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for today, Tuesday, the first day of November 2016. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.